life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility, but driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Todd and I have been talking a whole bunch before the podcast ever begins.
Yes, that always happens. It always happens.
It's crazy. He comes over and we're just off into the weeds. And one of the things that came up was how much people like the Lemons piece that just debuted on Velocity.
Yeah.
This was our 24 Hours of Lemons race. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dale. Thank you, Carl, for being co-drivers with us on this race. But it's, of course, created the itch. And so many of you have actually, I've seen in social media, saying, thanks, guys. Now I'm shopping for $500 cars. And
this is the
problem. I've got the itch. I'm going to go racing. I've got to do it. And that was the whole point of the episode, was to show you that you can indeed. Of course, you need Dale to go wrangle everything and, you know, calculate fuel stops and all that stuff. So, Dale, suddenly you've got a new job.
Yeah, funny.
Going around the country and organizing everybody's races. Maybe that is a job.
You and I have never said less, actually, about a car, quantifiable, in an episode. But because it was just an experiential piece about trying to get through this thing and experiencing it as newbies and seeing what it's really like. And many of you have really responded, which is really cool. Thank you guys for watching the Velocity channel in general. We really appreciate it. Tell a friend that has Velocity to watch it. We'd love to have as many people as possible. Now, remember, we've got episode 7 coming up.
Seven, yes.
Which is our last new one for the season, and then we're going to rerun everything to get the rest of 13 weeks. This show's on through March, folks. So season two is still running. Of course, it's going to work its way out to both YouTube, and of course, it is in the middle of releasing one a week to Vimeo right now.
Yes, agreed.
So it's out there for sure. By the way, if you've seen it and you are an IMDb person and you would like to rate the show on IMDb, I would appreciate it because I am resisting the urge to rate my own show. I refuse to do that.
Create a new login.
I refuse to do that.
Could you make, you know, some artificial intelligence to go in and create a whole bunch of new users?
I'm sure there's people
that rate your own show.
I'm sure there's people that do or have.
Best rated show ever.
I'm sure that's happened.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you watch the show and you want to give it an honest review, we'd love that on IMDb. Thank you for listening and doing that with the podcast as well. The podcast is growing a lot. Both the guys tonight here have found the podcast kind of recently and are writing in as a result. We thank you guys for finding. We've got Rod writing in to us from Pasadena and also Kareem writing in as well. And they both are kind of new to the podcast, but they're sending in their car debates that are both very cool. And man, the questions. I think I noted, man, like 10. We won't get to all of these. There's so many that are good.
There's a lot of great ones. And thank you to both of you for writing in, as Todd said. This is going to be a lot of fun. And there's some through lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you the headlines
here. Yeah.
Both of these guys are 48 years old. They both have three kids. And Kareem has another one on the way. And they're looking for cars that say, you know what, I'm cool. I'm, you know, wanting something for the kids that works in my life. But, you know, there's going to be some compromises made. So we're not looking for track cars. We're not looking for the Canyon Carvers even really, but something fun. And it rarely happens that I am just knifing in. I am sniper-shotting my way into both these guys'
really?
Lives with my car choices.
Good.
I do
I'm
have
excited
a few,
about that.
But
okay.
I'm kind of proud of my choices for Kareem. When we get to his debate on the second half of the podcast here,
well,
I'm proud. This car, I think everybody has forgotten about.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear about that.
Yeah,
the thing is, both these guys are dealing with that real-life thing we talk about.
Oh,
you have a real job, a real life, a wife, kids, lots of stuff's going on, lots of moving parts, and you're still a car guy. You want to move things around. You have a real budget, not an astronomical, whatever it happens. No, you've got a real budget. And both of these guys also have the cars that do the major family duty, but they aren't buying wild, you know, two-seat track cars. Do I have to pick up the kids today?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's always very difficult. Rod's actually writing in as a freelance TV editor.
There's,
from Pasadena, which is
lines.
Very cool.
He's a TV editor,
mm-hmm.
you know, which covers your, you know, side of the world.
Yeah. Well, I
he's
feel,
in Pasadena,
I feel his pain.
Where I used to live, where
for
my
sure.
alma mater, Art Center College of Design, is located.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all these through lines.
Well,
it's great.
I feel his pain because he talks about, as a freelance editor, he never knows where in town he might be driving and at what hours.
Yeah.
So these are real considerations. So gas mileage, commuting, and he does want an automatic because he may be sitting in bumper to bumper right now, or he may be driving home tomorrow night at 3 a.m. This is how this freelance editing gig goes. The funniest part about this, I feel like, is the random part in the second paragraph, and I almost have a rant to go with it.
Oh, no, a rant.
Yeah, I know. It's frightening. Because he said, I've never owned a car of my dreams, which I think would be a 70s or 80s Porsche 911.
I see no problem.
Here's my rant.
Uh-oh.
Look, I like the 911. I like the air-cooled 911.
Yeah.
There is a thing going on in California, LA specifically, Hollywood even more specifically, that has turned this into a complete and utter cult. And if you are existing in that world, there is it's somehow permeating that the car that everybody has to have, the only car that matters. Do you own an air-cooled 911? Because everybody wants it.
I mean,
stop.
Count me among members.
I know. Very cool. But
yeah.
I don't get the sense of two things. One, Rod says he's never really owned a car that he's just like his dream car that he's loved.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a wrencher with a garage and a bunch of time. So he says, what I think I want to do at some point is just buy a shell of an air-cooled 911 and build it up from a shell.
Rod, don't worry about it. Todd's just finding the contradictions in your email here.
Rod, when is this going to happen? This is going to be your project for the next two decades, okay? Let's get you a car you can drive. And the air-cooled 911s are very cool, but they aren't as cool as Hollywood has led all of Hollywood to believe.
I suppose, but it could come back to a connection. You know, just maybe it's a Miami Vice connection, and you identify with Ferraris and that kind of thing.
I saw
some other TV show back in the day, and you know that burned an impression.
Yeah,
Porsches did that.
Lots of cars have done that. Well, if you're a car guy right now, there is that car from your childhood where you're just like, you know what it was, and it might not even make much sense, but there's just that car that you first thought, what is that, and how do I get it?
Mm-hmm.
And you may have been four, but it still happened. So I do understand that, but I'm just saying there are a lot of cars out there. You don't have to. This is why the air cooled 911 prices are nuts.
Yeah. I'm going to continue to nurture that dream for you, Rod. I'm not going to let it die. I'm not going to stab it and leave it in the gutter. It's okay, but we've got to get you into something that you're going to love, too. Now, Rod currently owns and dailies an 06 Honda Accord 4-cylinder. He said it's been completely reliable, as Honda Accords are.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 15-year-old soon-to-be driver who will most likely receive this car as his first car.
Sounds perfect.
Which is an excellent choice. And then the rest of the family gets hauled around in the 07 Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
So they are a full-on Honda family.
They are, for sure.
And
But they have the utility cars covered, too.
Oh, they do. Yeah,
which is
for
great.
Sure. So with the 15-year-old looming driver, Honda Accord driving kid, he's saying, I'm wanting a car that has some enthusiast feel without ditching practicality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of reading into that based on your suggestions. There's some hatch suggestions. There's some four-door suggestions.
Yeah.
He had, some desire. He's admired the sport and style of German automobiles,
mm-hmm.
but is afraid by the maintenance and costs and expenses and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
On the other hand, there's hundreds of thousands of people worldwide that drive German cars and, are fine. Just saying.
True.
You can do some things to mitigate that. He's looking at an 08 Volkswagen GTI with a DSG. That's what he has driven. He's also owned an 03 Passat Wagon, 05 Acura TL,
mm-hmm.
and an 06 Civic Si that he took autocrossing. So
yes.
He loved that part too.
Yes.
So Hondas are German cars.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese are German.
This is the debate. But he'd like to have something that, look, let's be honest, he's going to sit in traffic in this car.
Oh, yeah. We know about LA. Yeah. Both of us have lived there. We know Pasadena. I used to live in Pasadena.
And we're going back regularly, and we're seeing that traffic too.
Yeah.
We're definitely in it. And there's that picture that happens every Thanksgiving. That is the like Christmas picture. It's the every Thanksgiving picture, and it's just the 405 blocked.
Mm-hmm.
It's white going one way, red going the other, and it's just like, hey, it's an accidental Christmas card photo in the middle of LA, and there's people down there sitting in that.
Yeah,
happens every year. So you want to be able to have that and still hopefully have a little bit of fun. We're staying in the four door world, I feel like, or at least four good seats. I didn't go all four doors, but I'm all good four seats.
Okay,
but I also read into this that this car needs to just run.
It does.
And I also feel like there's an element here where you want to have fun with it, but it can't be too precious because it needs to do just the workaday stuff.
It does. It's a hard, fine line to figure out.
The
you know, enthusiast, the practicality, the fun, but beautiful, but, you know, I love it. You know, it's my baby, but not too precious, you know.
Yeah.
All those kinds of things.
I've got a few for Rod. I've got a kind of a range of cars. I've got four that are all... I think you'll see the thread on all of them, but they're all very different.
Okay. All right. Well, Rod, I've got two for you. They're very similar, and I am nodding to your 2018 GTI suggestions with the DSG.
That
Golf
would work
R.
For sure. That would work.
He's also suggested the Audi S3, and he also mentioned the rear-wheel drive Infiniti Q50, which has kind of piqued his interest, too. I kind of find that interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's not German, but it is certainly Japanese. It'd be great reliability, all that kind of stuff. And what else? He's considered a new Honda Accord or a Mazda 6, but ultimately he's saying it's got to be stylish and powerful and comfortable. And again, I'm thinking automatic or dual clutch.
Yeah, needs to be, ideally.
I'm just going to get right to it, and I'm going to throw down with German cars here, Rod.
Okay, good.
I am excited that this could be a possibility, despite the fact that the only thing missing in your email is a price range.
We're kind of extrapolating that. I mean, when we're talking GTIs, a DSG or a Golf R, I'm thinking we're up at 40 grand at the most.
At the most, which I pushed on. Of course I did. Yeah. All right, so I'm getting right to it. My first thought for you is an Audi S7. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking A7 maybe, but if you can pop for the S7, I'm pushing. What a distinctive,
so you're going,
stylish.
You're going used.
Beautiful. It'd have to be used, certainly.
A lot of utility in that car, too.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of comfort for sitting
absolutely.
In traffic.
Absolutely.
But I thought, you know what? Better than the S7, despite the power of that car, I found you a 2014 Porsche Panamera.
I wondered if you'd go there.
For $43,000 with 30,000 miles.
Okay.
Now, this is the regular V6, and the reason I'm recommending this is for many reasons. Reliability, they put that engine, Volkswagen Group did, they put that engine in lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be fine. From a power standpoint, no, it's not a turbo, but you don't need it, and you're not going to pay the insurance costs of a Panamera turbo.
True. Yeah.
It's going to be everything a GTS or a Turbo S is, and it's a V6 that you and I have found has great power.
It's solid. It's fun. Yeah.
Crank out 5,000-6,000 beyond that, and you're gone. It's great power.
Well, it's still a 300 horsepower car.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, I didn't go there, but I like that you brought that up, because the thing about that is, and I'll speak to this as the guy with 100,000 mile Cayenne, base Cayenne. Yes, that long term video is coming up. But but here's the thing: when you get the lower end Porsches, two key things. One, go find yourself a independent Porsche mechanic. You'll save unbelievable amounts of money. Secondly, when it's lower end on the scale of options for that car, there's less to go wrong.
Very true.
And our Cayenne just runs. And the people I know that have had Money Pit Cayennes, guess which one they have? They have a Turbo S.
Right, right. And every time I get in your Cayenne, I think, this is not a 100,000-mile car.
I agree
it's
with
not.
You.
It feels tight and solid and clean. Your wife keeps it very clean.
She does keep
much
it, which is nice. Yes.
But it just feels so solid and great. I'm thinking, this will last another 100, no problems.
Probably. And that V6 Panamera, that is the upside to that, is that there's less you're going to spend money on. There's less that's likely to go wrong with it, and it's still going to be great to drive. I didn't go there, but I do like that a lot.
Plus, PDK.
I know.
I mean,
I know. Yeah.
Comfortable, stylish. Powerful, as powerful, but fine. I mean, for your usage, it's going to be an excellent road trip car. You're going to be delighted to go outside and look. The fact that you've got a Porsche Panamera, it's a four-door 911, Rod.
That's it. They get sold that way for sure.
Just saying, you know, I'm trying to tug on your heartstrings a little bit, because we know your heartstrings are directly connected to Visa and MasterCard.
Well, and it's a four-door 911. You don't have to build in your garage. I'm just saying.
So there you go. Those are my two choices for you, Rod.
Okay.
I'm hoping that resonates. Of course, now you've got some driving to do.
For sure.
But
for sure.
I'm sure that's going to happen. So hopefully that's...
I do like that. I don't know if Rod would have the problem of, wow, we're paying our freelance editor too much. But anyway, but
could be.
Perception versus reality. But
park,
you know,
around the corner and then
that's all right.
Know, skateboard the rest of the way or something.
Funny. Very nice. So I have four I want to talk about. One of them I'm going to quickly take out of the equation. You'll need to understand why. But I want to talk about four. Here's where my brain went.
Okay.
He's had an Accord, which is a good-sized car.
Yeah.
The other car is the Odyssey. I wanted to get Rod into something smaller, just small. And, of course, look, I'm the small car guy anyway, but just get that little enthusiast feel out of it just because it became a smaller car.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
I am concerned for you about gas mileage and a car that you don't have to be too precious with. I do really like the GTI Golf R recommendation. You kind of feel in many ways like the perfect Golf buyer here. The Golf R would be really fun. I mean, it would be...
He's a foregone conclusion?
No. I'm just saying,
fit our demographic perfectly.
Well, you know, but Volkswagen's got a nice broad demographic there too. I mean, here's the thing. When you want to just sit there in the commute and you just needs the DSG's great. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Sure.
When you want to hoon it a little bit, you've got a good open on-ramp or section of a nice road in California, that Golf R will be great. The GTI would be great.
Which is the one right at Orange Grove, actually, right onto the 134. That's true. Is the best.
You are one of the best at that. I've watched you frighten more people. Actually, one of the very few times that I've ever been, we're going to die, was with you on that on-ramp. And in general, your driving doesn't scare me. I can text while you drive. It doesn't bother me. But it's on true, that on-ramp, you have a special affinity for that on-ramp.
Had a lot of practice.
Anyway, yes, you did. So I do think that's a really strong contender here, so I have to mention that. Your past love of the Civic Si influenced me a little bit. And okay. I want to come back to that because the current Civic Si doesn't work because it's manual transmission.
True.
So as much as I'd like to kind of have you gravitate back toward that, we wind up in a manual. So I want to, but that kind of stayed in my brain as, wait a minute, he really liked that Civic Si and it's the right size. So what do we do? While staying German though, I did have this thought.
Okay.
Because, you know, we could say like 2 Series. We talk up the M235 all the time. Okay.
Regularly. Yes.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I like that car so much to talk about it is, for everybody to own it is because we've watched those cars live in the fleet at RSR, get hammered on Spa on the Ring, which is about as hard
down.
As you can be on a yeah. car, and they just run.
And by all kinds of different drivers.
Yes.
Some who are very ham-fisted and clueless, yes. and others that can extract
and we've,
beautiful symphonies out
we've,
of them.
We've driven it with the 8-speed auto. We've driven it with the 6-speed manual. And it just runs, and it feels great to drive. So I think, the 2 Series is a candidate, but I thought, wait.
Hmm.
I want to go more unique and a little more kind of enthusiast hardcore.
Okay.
You can't go 1M. Because it's manual transmission and it's probably out of your budget, but you could go 135IS.
Oh.
This, my friend, is the baby 1M. It's almost a 1M.
And automatic?
It's that scale, and you can get it with their DCT.
You can. That's
you
right.
Can.
That's right.
135IS is my almost wild card because it's a little bit of an oddball, but you've got German car, rear-wheel drive, almost the 1M in feel.
And it's small. It's very small.
It's got good power. I mean, nice steering feel. It's got all the. It's got a lot of the good things of the 1M without mm-hmm. being the 1M. It's not quite there, but it's like 90%.
Sure.
135IS, I think, is a really good candidate. You could get one, and you can get it with the DCT.
Okay, I could see this.
So that's cool.
You're going to have to hunt for that car. That seems like a rare
beast.
You
are. I looked it up, and I found him. I was on Auto Tempest.
You did, okay.
And I looked it up.
All right.
And I did find him, because I was specifically going, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure they're DCT, are they? And I started finding them.
Gotcha.
So there they are.
Gotcha, okay.
Hang on. I say DCT. Wait, let me back up. I know they're auto. They're probably not the dual clutch. They're probably just the 7-speed auto, but you'd have to check. My point is, you can get an automatic, and you can't in the 1M.
Okay.
Then I have this car, which I almost feel like is our answer. In spite of all of those other ideas, I almost feel like I've got the answer for Rod, and it almost surprised me when I landed on it. But this is where the Civic Si led me.
Okay.
Automatic, decent gas mileage, usable.
I mean, great gas mileage, actually.
No, I'm saying where I'm headed. Put those three categories on the board.
All right.
Also, perfectly hoonable, reliable, fun.
Okay.
This is a hard list.
It is. It's actually tougher than it sounds.
Subaru WRX, the current one, brand new.
Really?
Because this is something that someone of any age can drive. The STI, you can say, am I too old for this car? But the WRX can blend with traffic. It's one of those cars that,
it blends.
You know, it does blend. We're not talking about, okay, you've lost the German thing, but you like that Civic.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Honda Accord you actually think is fine right now. It just doesn't have any personality. The WRX has personality. The WRX is fun to drive. The only downside to this that I can see, honestly, is the fact that the automatic in that is actually a CVT masquerading as a real transmission.
Yeah.
Now, as CVTs go, which we don't like, it is good because Subaru has done a good job of calibrating one where you can pull a paddle and actually pick a gear. So you don't have the rubber band effect that just plagues them in almost every other usage. Nissan, I'm looking at you. But So that CVT, if you've got to go that world, at least Subaru has done it somewhat right.
It scampers. This is a car that scampers.
It's honestly, that car is fun in stick shift, and it is even fun with that CVT.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I just think, no, come on. Compared to the competitors.
Compared to most, yeah. CVTs are the bane of our existence.
I know, we don't like them, but I also think about the fact that that is a car. If here's my concern. If you wind up in that brand new Golf R, or you wind up in a BMW you spend a bunch of money on, or the Panamera you suggested, are you going to be concerned about the car? In just doing LA life
more
stuff.
So than a Subaru, for sure.
If you're in your Subaru WRX, you parked it on the street and you went to your gig and it's a Subaru WRX. I love it. It's fun, but it's a Subaru WRX that's parked on the block. I don't care. As much.
That's the key.
You still right care. There. So I really think that's not on your radar, but I think it should be. I think you might be really happy in that WRX.
Interesting. Okay, so also to confirm, it looks like later in production run, the BMW 135i automatic got replaced by a DCT. It was out of the Z4 and various other cars, so we're actually right about both. So if you want the DCT in the 135, you're going to have to go later in the model year run, and you're going to have to kind of go hunting a little bit. Yeah. But you can get it, so
I think it'd be
news.
Cool. I think it'd be cool.
Interesting.
Something in there is bound to help Rod out. Let us know what you got. Enjoy Pasadena. Pasadena is awesome, actually. And I hope that all of this helps you.
Beautiful. All right, Rod, thanks for writing in. We really appreciate it. Hello to your family. And we are going to take a short break with commercials and be right back.
Let's talk about your bucket list for a minute. That's right, your bucket list. You know what should be on it? A trip to one of the greatest spectacles in all of motorsports, the Indy 500. I'm not talking any trip, but the ultimate Indy 500 fan experience. That's even in quotes. This is exactly what AMSOIL, maker of some of the best synthetic motor oils on the planet, is giving away this spring. One lucky grand prize winner will win the trip of a lifetime to the Indy 500 to watch some of the fastest cars and best drivers battle to have their names etched alongside the greats like Foyt, Andretti, Unser, and Castroneves. But that's not all. That's right, that's not all. Listen to what else awaits this grand prize winner.
There's pit access, dinner with an Indy 500 legend, VIP track access, suite access to watch the race, $1,000 in cash for incidental travel or event-related expenses, round-trip airfare for two people to and from Indianapolis, Indiana, hotel accommodations for two people for five nights at a hotel near the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, ground transportation to and from the airport, hotel, and speedway, and multiple chances to meet the drivers. Just like they do when making high-performance synthetic motor oils, AMSOIL went the extra mile with this sweepstakes. And if that's not enough, 10 first-place winners will receive one free digital download code for the Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. To enter the AMSOIL Ultimate Indy 500 fan experience, text INDY to 41487. That's INDY to 41487. Or you can visit AMSOIL.com/INDY.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit.
Yeah, and a ham horn. And we have a new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
Let me tell you about Pete, who loved hockey and always wanted to play in the NHL. Pete played since he was three and begged his mom to let him stay on the ice. Why, some nights, he even slept in his hockey skates. Pete practiced and practiced until one day. When he was 47, Pete realized he just wasn't that good, so he threw his skates in the trash. But then he heard how GEICO, proud partner of the NHL, could save him money on car insurance. So he switched and saved a bunch. So it all worked out.
We're back with our second car debate, also for a dad of three that's 48. This one's Kareem, though. So we totally changed the world.
This is the podcast.
Yeah, apparently this evening that's what we're doing. But actually, Kareem just started listening to our podcast. He's listened to, I think, all of two or three episodes and went, I'm writing a car debate.
Welcome, my friend.
Rescue Pet Motorsports is his race team, which makes me laugh. I love that it's called Rescue Pet Motorsports. He actually has three kids, one on the way, but two of his kids are driving, which means we don't have to have a, you know, how many seats can we get in this car problem.
True.
Which helps.
True.
And he does have His current fleet of fun is the 996 40th anniversary with many, many mods from the 997 and elsewhere, and a spec Miata, his description, because everyone should have one. So those things exist, but he currently, as his daily, has, this is where the problem comes in, the 2016 Volkswagen GLI 6-speed that he leased a year and 9 months ago. He's being very specific because this can't end fast enough, and that's why he's here.
Leases that can't end fast enough .com.
Yeah, that's headline pretty much what Kareem. Swap a lease is, yeah.
Well, Kareem is actually very experienced. He has had 55 cars in his life. Mm-hmm. 10 of them are club racing cars. He has been track racing since 1992, and he's run on 20-plus tracks on 4 different continents. Guy's got some experience.
Yeah, there's a disease happening here.
Want to go
sure.
to the ring, Kareem, and Spa in
We are going in September. We're going to go
just,
again.
Just
it's
saying,
happen.
This
yep,
is
there
one
it
of
is.
The first podcasts that we're starting to propose this year's trip for 2018.
Yep.
Just planting the seeds right now with everybody listening.
It's looking like the back half of the month. We can't confirm yet. It's looking like the back half of the month. But it is happening awesome. Yet again. It's an annual thing for sure.
All right. So as Todd said, he's got the fleet, the lease he is really looking forward to getting out of. And quite a range of kids' ages here. He doesn't have a tow vehicle. So he's got to borrow his wife's 2017 Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland.
To tow things to the track.
I know about this car.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
She hates driving stick, so it's always a hassle for him to steal the car.
That hassle, by the way, that hassle, that word could be swapped out for a conversation. That's what that means.
Delightful,
honey, maybe? I need to take your Jeep Grand Cherokee. I've cleared the next 15 minutes to talk this through.
So Kareem does give us a price range here. He says he wants to spend about $40,000, give or take $5,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, which direction do you think I'm going to take this? Well, he also ranks some cars that he's currently thinking about. And again, based on the list and based on your price range, I'm thinking four doors. I'm thinking something that's kid-friendly. And also it sounds like of the 55 cars you've owned in your life, you've had quite a few BMWs. Mm-hmm. Quite a few of everything, but you don't list them all. You have not given us your car history, and it probably takes
scroll,
about 3 days.
Scroll.
Right, yeah. And read through it. Mm-hmm. But I like his list here about things that he started to sniff around and things that are interesting to him. Topping the list being the Chevy SS. Mm-hmm. Did you notice this?
I did notice this. How could I not? Chevy SS.
He says I keep coming back to this.
Chevy SS for everyone.
It's really cool. The previous gen Cadillac CTS-V. Mm-hmm. He's wondering if it's getting long in the tooth. And the only thing that's keeping me from recommending the CTS-V more or any Cadillac V-Series product is that stupid interface. I want to take a Sawzall and I want to chop it out of the dash.
Well,
I'll put anything right there.
But hang on. The one
anything.
He's talking about, it doesn't have the Q system. The one he's talking about doesn't have the Q. Think about Raul's 6-speed wagon.
The prior gen does not. True.
That's certainly better.
That's hell.
Better because we've avoided the Q system. Better in the grand scheme. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, any CTS-V, I'm just going, yeah, great car. You're going to hate interacting with everything in that car. I'm sorry. But the driving experience is amazing.
Yeah. The console is just frustrating. Yeah. And it's piano black, so you can just see how many fingerprints existed on it before you got in the car.
I would like to talk to designers that decided piano black would be a cool thing.
It looks fantastic when no one's touched it,
uh-huh.
but you bought... Look, you didn't buy the car. You test drove the car, ruined, done.
We're done. All right, so what else is on the list? E30 M3. He has also suggested some Mercedes-Benz cars for himself, C63 or E63 2012 or newer, says ideally. BMW 340 M Sport is on the list, but he says after a dozen BMWs, I think they have lost their way. No, it just depends on the car that you buy from them.
Well, that's the thing. They've splintered themselves so much in the search for market share and for the 50 people that will buy car blank.
The X4?
The GT. Yeah. So that's the thing. Is as a result, they've splintered themselves so much, there are many, many cars in their lineup that don't play back to that ultimate driving machine at all. But now it's what? It's like advanced efficiency or something that sounds like something you'd get in a dish detergent, and BMW is now chasing that. Used to be the ultimate driving machine, and now we all have... Yeah, anyway.
It sounds like Ford's marketing team, the EcoBoost thing. Why can't we just use turbo? Turbo's a cool
it's
word.
Turbo. It's been turbo.
Why can't you just say twin turbo?
We made a turbo.
Sounds good.
It worked for Volvo.
No kidding.
Volvo, the most boring square car on the planet. You put the word turbo on the back of it, and all the enthusiasts went, what was this now?
Exactly.
I'm sorry?
A Volvo turbo? Really? Point the way.
Anyway.
All right, so the last car on his list here is the IS350, and he says, that would leave me pocket change for more toys. Okay, I like your thinking.
But here's the thing in all of these. The thing I'm taking away from this story is this. This is a car that would replace that GLI.
Yeah.
Now, we've got to have a car that is more fun than the GLI, which clearly has been established as a low bar. However,
he'd
it needs
rather
to be a
walk,
car
apparently.
That when he says to his wife, I need to take your Jeep Cherokee, she goes, okay. What she needs to do and the way she needs to drive it, it's going to be okay. So it's got to be better for Kareem and still accessible for his wife.
This choice, that could still work. For that qualification, my choice could still work.
Okay, good.
So Kareem says, he continues saying, this has to be rear-wheel drive. Maintenance costs are a concern, but he said the reason that he got the GLI was because his 2006 Cayenne Turbo S started grabbing thousands of dollars out of his wallet quicker than he could list it for sale, which is as those cars do. I mean, welcome to the first-gen Cayenne Turbo S.
Well, but it's also first-gen point one. The 03 to 06, those are the ones that when they become money pits, they become black holes for your cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, everybody has their thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Sailing apparently is like standing in a cold shower ripping up $1,000 bills. Or you could own an 06 Cayenne Turbo S.
Yeah. Well, the joke that you've always told me is the two best days in a boat owner's life are the day he gets the boat, the day he sells it. There
My
it is.
My dad experienced that. He was like clicking his heels the day that boat left the driveway. Anyway, Kareem, I think I've got your car here.
Did you sniper shot this, really?
I did. I started out with the E39 BMW M5.
Okay.
Love this car.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, enthusiastauto.com has a manual 2002 Le Mans Blue M5 with 55,000 miles for right at $45,000.
That's gorgeous, but would his wife want to drive it? That's gorgeous, but would the wife want to drive it?
No, because it's a manual.
Yeah.
So that leads me to this car.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And I think everybody listening, I am baiting you. I realize I'm drawing this out longer than necessary.
Yes, you are.
But I think you've forgotten about this car. It's something that I'm actually intrigued with. I like the styling.
Okay.
It intrigues me.
Okay.
I think it could be fun to drive. Having never driven it, I think it could be pretty cool.
All right.
You're not ready for this car.
I'm hoping.
No, none of you are ready for this car.
Okay, all right.
I found two of them within the price range, well within the price range, and interestingly, both were in Texas. I don't know what it is about Texas having a plethora of these cars for sale.
Texas is actually a place to buy cheap cars. It really is.
Here it is, everyone. It's the BMW 640i Grand Coupe. It's the four-door 6 Series.
Yeah.
I found a 2013 with 54,000 miles for $28,800.
You're kidding.
This is a $90,000 car brand new.
You're kidding.
I found a 2016 BMW 640i Grand Coupe with just under 30,000 miles for $45,000 at Certified Autoplex in Carrollton, Texas.
I'll this be in car, Carrollton in like a week. I just want to drive by and see that car exists.
I found boatloads of them. Beautiful 2015s, 2016s. They're all half the price for what the MSRP on this car was. It's a beautiful, fast, luxury car, four doors. I actually like the styling better than the two-door 6 Series.
That's actually interesting. I do, too.
I've never really liked the 6 Series, but the Grand Coupe kind of changed it for me. And it's a niche model. Talk about splintered.
Totally.
Here it is.
It's a great example of that.
Kareem, I know you've probably owned a boatload of BMWs in your life.
He has, for sure, yes.
However, for the price and the fact that you said, would your wife want to go drive this car?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yes, she would.
Yeah,
she might actually lend you the Jeep for a week. Go tow whatever it is you need to tow around, honey.
You go tow to the track. I'm taking the BMW. I'm gone. That's interesting.
I think everybody's forgotten about the Grand Coupe.
Yeah, well, clearly, based on those prices, we have all forgotten.
I'm floored. And every single car is like this. I mean, 19,000 miles on one of them. It's white, and they're half the price. They're like $40,000.
That's shocking. That car's dropping really quick.
I actually like the interior. I like that it's low and real, just stretched out.
I prefer the Grand Coupe on that as well. I have to admit, that's really cool.
I think everybody forgot about this car. So that is my recommendation for you, Kareem.
Okay. I can't do something as clearly out of the box as you did there. I am impressed. I do have to say, you like the Chevy SS. I have to back the Chevy SS. No one's surprised. No one is surprised. But I think that car would be fun for you and it would just run. Now, you're talking about the auto version. When, if you watch our review of it, we originally drove the auto. Since then, I've driven the everything you want, six-speed, magnetic ride, blah. That's the
business
on that car.
He's also shot one into space, haven't you?
No, that is actually really awesome. I've driven that on the track, and car is really surprising in general. But if you got the 6-speed auto in that, fine.
Oh yeah,
fine.
That'd be great.
I mean, I think you would just having that LS in it, you'd find it more fun than the GLI. Just
budget
just
for
that.
Rear tires. Yes, yeah. Honey, check out my car. 100 yards of rubber down the street.
Well, maybe your wife will do that when she borrows the car. that'd be a real success. She really likes the Chevy SS.
You know you've won at life when
exactly.
Your wife's doing burnouts.
So there's
with your own
that. Car. You brought up the previous gen CTS-V. I'm going to curveball off of that. Have you driven the current ATS-V?
It's got that Q system that I want to hack.
I know.
I would like to take a fire axe.
I know you
to
I
that
know.
System.
I know you're a huge fan. They're going to get you their spokesperson. It's going to be awesome.
They're going to send me one mounted on a plaque, aren't they?
You're just going to hang it above your fireplace. It's just going to be just the Q system.
People walk in the house and be like,
what's going on there?
What? Why?
The more fingerprints, the better. It's modern art now. That's what it is. It's going to be modern art. Anyway, no, drive the ATS-V with the magnetic ride. That car is shockingly agile. And yet it's a very nice place to
great.
Be.
It's great. It's great.
It's a very nice place to be.
Yeah.
Styling is polarizing. Some people love it. Some people are like, "What is it's a Cadillac?"
More angles and sharp edges.
Seriously, but I actually think the ATS looks great on the road.
Yeah, it does.
It's got
does.
Really good proportions. ATS-V sedan, get that used. It'll be in your budget. I think that's one to look at.
Okay.
So I like the Chevy SS. I like the ATS-V. And then I'm shocked you didn't say it.
Hmm.
Kia Stinger.
Kia Stinger's up there.
Now, if you trick it out,
that's
that car's
problem.
50 grand.
They're 52 or 53.
You get everything on it, it's 50
well,
grand.
Well, yeah.
But okay, don't get everything on it. What's the $45,000 Kia Stinger GT?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
A really nice car.
Yeah.
And it's good looking. Here's the thing. It does the thing the SS does not, and that is it looks interesting. I like the SS. I'm one of the biggest fans of the SS out there. It just doesn't look that interesting. The Kia Stinger.
Nice mallet. Is what? SS?
Yeah, which rental car? No. So anyway, that's the problem with it, unfortunately. Yeah. Now, if you like sleepers, that's a victory. But it is the ultimate sleeper because nobody knows what it is.
It's your license plate. Victory.
Yeah. But the Kia Stinger is just a cool-looking car. You see that on the
gorgeous.
Road. It's just got presence. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. For a brand new car, mm-hmm. if you're going brand new, yeah, buy the fully as much Kia Stinger as you can get for 45
exactly
grand.
Right. Exactly right.
Still a great car.
For sure. That's my list.
Interesting. This is getting fun.
Your Grand Coupe is cool, though, I have to say. That I did not see coming.
I dove into pages of Grand Coupes for sale going, what's wrong with this car?
That's your follow-up album, Pages of Grand Coupes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, anyway, Trying to Care was your first album. Anyway, if you haven't seen that, by the way, we should repost it because every time I see it, it makes me laugh.
My sophomore album coming up soon. Well, not that soon. All right, so questions. We've got to get to these.
Craziness.
So many. Did you notice Derek wrote to us? Derek was on our first pilgrimage trip.
It's on my list as well.
He has gone through a saga of used cars.
Yes.
But he's thinking about getting one for his wife. Did you notice
this? He's going car shopping. And for the first time ever, his wife has gone, well, I have some interests. I have some cars I'd like to get. And so that's the whole question. Do I get what I want or do I cultivate her interest?
Mm. Cultivate.
This is a classic question because this is my wife and I. When she walks up to me while driving the GMC Acadia and says, of course, idiot me, didn't see it coming, says to me, you know that show you do about people having cars they love? And I went, yeah. She went, I hate my car. Uh-oh. Talk about painted into a corner.
Dang it.
Yeah, exactly.
There was
no way out of it. You would think I would have seen that coming. You would think I would have known. Anyway.
Why is there a rake on the floor?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And there's one behind it. No, Derek, here's the thing. My question is, how far apart are your choices? That's my first question, is what were you going to buy and what has she expressed interest in? Because I think what you do is you find the car that meets you in the middle.
I mean.
Or find out, or go this way.
Yeah, it's kind of what we do, generally speaking.
Without question, yeah. But find out, the other thing I would say is cultivate this in one area. What is she like or what is she intrigued by in the next car?
Okay.
Because she may
go,
I want fill in the blank. I don't know what it is. I want a little tiny SUV. Maybe she does. But why? So see if you can unpack the reasons why she's interested in whatever car she's interested in. See if you can find something that matches all of those categories. This is why I'm in a Cayenne.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was, she was only SUV shopping. As much as I wanted
large
her,
SUV shopping too. And she's look, a truck girl.
Exactly. We drove a Panamera because I really wanted her to be in a Panamera, but that was out. She yeah. wanted a truck. She wanted something. You
don't
know.
Ever say this truck drives so car-like to her ever. Yes, that's nobody
the, that's,
ever do
that's
that.
The worst thing ever. Yeah, his car salesman said it to her once, and she looked at him deadpan and went, "That's why I hate it." That's exactly what happened. Anyway, I love my wife. Anyway, she's awesome. But so that happened, which is very funny. But so this is why we wound up at a Cayenne, because I looked at the things she wanted and I looked at the things I wanted, which was, I don't want this to feel like a big, huge, lumbering truck. And I went, we had a list of things to drive. Cayenne was on the list because I added it.
Mm.
And she got in and went, what is this now? So that's the thing I think you need to do, Derek, is figure out the things she really would like in that car. And how can you find something you like that has those characteristics?
I think really what Todd's trying to say is Cayenne's for everyone. Cayenne's for your wife is what you're trying to say. That's the bottom line, right?
It worked in my life. It doesn't mean it works in yours, for sure.
All right. So Samuel W. is writing on Facebook here. He says, I love boxer engine cars. What boxer engine is best in your opinion?
The only thing this question is missing is the "Hey Paul" on the front of it. Yeah.
True. I thought I'd field this just briefly. And the manufacturer is Porsche, but it's not the boxer engine you're thinking of.
Okay.
The best boxer engine that I can come up with is the 1970 to 1971 Porsche 917K flat 12 engine.
Yeah, that wins. I think
that's
right there.
My engine. I thought Ferrari box. Nope, it's the 917. Done.
Wow.
They eventually got 1,100 horsepower out of it. And on one of the models, I was reading about this, they could take their hands off the wheel at 246 miles an hour. It was so stable and kind of fast.
Hey, Ma, no hands.
Flat 12 engine.
Wow. Okay.
There you go. So, yes, it's a Porsche. It's.
Well, you're right. You did not go where
time.
I expected. I thought you were going to go Metzger engine. Well done.
It actually kind of was. It was used, you know, it was developed along those lines with the same guy.
Yeah, yeah. The 12, though,
but
is the
12
key
of
thing.
Them.
Yeah, 12. Yep. And when you stand by those cars at the Porsche Museum, which may be a part of our trip this year, when you stand by the cars at the Porsche Museum, you're shocked by how long the tail of them is because it's all engine.
Yeah. The pig, the pink pig, was one of the aerodynamic studies of that car.
And I also keep looking at those cars when I see them in person and I think, how small were these drivers?
Well... Yeah.
I feel like a tree standing next to those cars from a driver. Now, look, they're plenty big enough. It's just they're all engine. And I'm going, where does the tiny little person – are toddlers driving this? They're just – it's unbelievable. Anyway.
They were pretty small.
Wow. Okay. Damn it, Patton, still my favorite, wrote in on IG and said he recently had a family emergency over the weekend. Look, I hope everything's okay, first off.
Yeah, definitely.
But the problem was they ran into that we have to swap cars thing, and his wife can't drive stick.
Mm, yeah.
So he's asking, okay – how do we solve this? And so he did his own research and discovered the stat he found. Stat he found was that about 3% of Americans, which that's a shockingly low
stat. I'm
amazed
by this. Actually, I'm curious as to where this came from.
Yeah, but his research revealed that 3% of Americans know how to drive a manual transmission. Now, I do know that compared to Europe, the numbers are frightening. Because in Europe, it's very common.
Everybody knows.
It's very, by and large, it's very common.
Yeah.
But I do know here it's far less common, but that's still a shocking stat. But here's the thing. It probably is well less than 10%. What, even if that stat's wrong, there's no question in my mind that it's less than 10%.
We've seen the internet meme, the a photo of a stick shift gearbox and says millennial anti-theft device.
Yeah. Well, but we've all seen those stories, and I swear they keep happening, where some guy tries to carjack a car, gets in and goes, uh-oh. Because it's a manual. I mean, that's solved. So anyway, he's saying, shouldn't this be part of our licensing program? And I'm going to say two things. Yes, and never going to happen, because it is a dying technology. And if anything, if you look at it this way, damn it, Patton, that's fun to say. If you look at it this way, we're headed toward you drive less, not you drive more.
Yeah.
That's where the technology, that's where the advancements are being done. You need to worry about less than you're worrying about right now. We're not worrying about enough, I feel like. But okay. All right.
Although a small sect of drivers will chase this, endlessly and pursue. Mm-hmm. And so it will never die, in my opinion, because cars are going to get restored. Cars will still exist that have manuals.
Yeah. But,
and be very much in demand. 70s and 80s Porsche 911s.
I mean, that you want to build from a shell in your garage. Don't do that.
Correct.
Don't do that. But here's
sounds
the thing.
Fun.
Here's the thing. I think it is a great skill to teach everybody you know, because
absolutely.
I think it's an interesting skill. And I've talked about it before. I think it's the only kind of car to buy your 16-year-old driver. Not because they need to know the skill, but because it's really hard to be distracted when there's that much going on. Welcome to trying to text and drive stick. Difficult.
Yeah.
But this isn't going to happen because the whole technology is moving away from more involvement. So unfortunately, it's gone. It's not going to happen. My encouragement to you is teach your wife to drive stick. But I also think this, and again, I'm just projecting from my experience with my wife, but she likes being able to know. She likes that she can drive stick.
Mm-hmm.
There's an accomplishment there.
Whether or not she practices it on a daily basis or not.
And she doesn't. She drives the Cayenne. I have the stick shift cars.
She also lives with you.
Exactly. Which, yeah, that takes effort. But but here's the thing.
I wasn't going there. But...
No, let's be honest. This is how it goes.
I wasn't.
That's reality. And then there's mini me, my son. And I think that day she's just like, seriously, there's an eject handle because I got to get away from all the talking. I must escape the talking.
Honey, why are you taking my load? Wait, where?
She and the dog are gone. They're just trying to find quiet. That's really what's going on in my house most of the time. And you're laughing because you know it's true.
That's the
scary thing. Anyway, I'm way off in the weeds. But I say teach your wife to drive stick because I think she may have an initial aversion to it. But I think once she accomplishes it, it's an accomplishment that would be really cool.
Can I add a few other life skills to that list? And that is being able to trailer a boat.
Yes.
Operate the hitch properly and back the boat down into the boat ramp properly.
Yeah.
And also learn how to, you know, lash your boat to the cleats, you know, just basic throw out the bumpers, you know,
yeah.
Little life skills like that. Definitely stick shift is on there.
Also a tiny percentage of people that ever actually need these talents, but at the same time, they are cool talents for sure.
You know, so you're not Billy Bayliner, you know, everybody's laughing at you, whatever the stick shift equivalent of that is.
Billy Bayliner.
You know what I'm talking about too.
I wish I didn't, but I still do. I still
it's
get
like,
that.
Oh, so you're into boating now and you bought the cheapest boat possible. And I'm not denigrating Bayliner boats. That was not the point. It was
here
just,
come the emails. Brace yourself.
Oh,
I did
man.
Not say this. For once, I won't get the angry email. That's the nice thing. Normally, I rant, and then here come the emails. That's how that
no.
works.
All right. So sticking with the manual transmission theme, Ed the Sled is also writing to us asking, what car would you swap a manual into because it's only offered as an automatic? And he says, you know, an AMG GT, the Audi, Lexus LFA. I mean, the cars that you're naming, especially the Mercedes AMG GT and Lexus, those are designed as, you know, take no prisoners. We're extracting the most amount of performance. And honestly, a dual clutch will far exceed any manual transmission capabilities.
Of course it will. Yeah.
And that's what the car is designed to do. And so therefore, the engineers and designers are going to spec that in an effort to get those performance numbers and get that driving experience. So I would say I've all actually wanted to do this for quite a while. Coming back to the Porsche 928,
okay. It
was mostly like 80% of that car was offered as an automatic because they thought that was going to be the car that would take over 911s the direction the market was heading was,
sure.
Hey, this is just going to be a cruising, long-distance GT touring car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most of the clientele, kind of like Ferrari started doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see a 360 Modena with a manual transmission, you think, quick, buy that car! Not that
mortgage the house, must have car.
Go buy the Ferrari. But anyway, I'd love to put a PDK with the twin turbo V6 into a 928 and wake it up with modern Porsche mechanicals.
Yeah.
But I'd also just the manual transmission and specifically that car because it was a dog leg and first gear was over and back towards you. That was first, second being... You know,
backing into your neighbors at streetlights, yes.
I mean, it took actually a little bit of a different thinking, but
for
the
sure.
second to third interaction was seconds forward, thirds back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was very interesting.
That's the whole purpose of the dog leg, for sure. Yeah,
yeah, so it just, that interaction, because that's where you spend most of your time in this car is extracting everything out of second straight back into third.
Yep.
I liked that transaxle setup a lot better.
Sure.
I more into the 928 for me.
Okay, I like that. I feel like there's a lot of these on this list we could possibly go, you know what would be cool? Like, I think really out of the box and crazy, there's no purpose for it at all, but wouldn't it be interesting if McLarens came in a manual transmission?
Oh.
But.
I could see that.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
I do have two thoughts, though, and that is the current Alfa Romeo lineup. The 4C and the Giulia. Now, the Giulia I know is offered overseas in a manual, but honestly, both of those cars would be very intrigued to drive in a manual. I wish they existed. The 4C specifically,
That would actually add a lot.
I think it would add
driving experience.
I think it would add.
Car.
Yeah.
Hmm. Thinking this through, yeah, that would add a lot. Hmm.
Let's see, many, many others. Let's see, Raman wrote in on Facebook and he said, 350Z or E46 M3? He's asking if they're competitors and he's asking which we think is better. Here's the thing. I think the E46 M3 is a more interesting car on all fronts. However, I think the 350Z is just going to run and it's going to run fast.
It's going to cost you a lot less of ownership over time.
Yes. You could get one cheap. You can make it robust very quickly. There's the whole spec 350Z world. Those cars are quick.
Yeah, they are.
They are fun. They are. The E46 M3 is a more special car.
Yeah, it's definitely more compelling as a car, you know, just owning it. But interior, you can throw parts on the 350.
Yeah, the interior, the feel of the engine, the steering, that E46 M3 is, that's the poster child for what we think a BMW is as far as how it's supposed to drive. Mm-hmm. And it's got, I mean, it's got an interior that's really aged well, too.
Yeah,
whereas the 350Z, I'm sorry, was a bad interior when it started. I hate to say it. I mean, you made the comment when we first drove it that they ordered some door. I mean, the interior door panel looks like it's unfinished. So, but that's not where the 350Z shines. It shines because if you've stepped up from spec Miata, you went 350Z. They just run. They're robust. They're quick. They're hardy. That's where they really shine. So mm-hmm. what are you using it for? What are you chasing? I think those are the pros and cons there.
There was a question, really good one, from WC Dunn on Instagram. He said, if there was an Olympics for cars,
oh, no.
what would some events be and which cars would be the favorite? Now, my mind went more towards the event rather than the cars themselves because let's break this down briefly. I won't spend too much time on this, but let's break this down.
Fiat 500 curling? Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. I caught myself watching curling. I was just, you know, bit of drool escaped my mouth.
That's what happens with everyone. Everyone, no one turns on the TV because curling's on. Everybody goes, why have I just watched 20 minutes of curling? Because you had the Olympics on and they're now covering curling.
Curling. I never, every 4 years I see curling. Huh. Anyway. So this Olympics, if you think about it and you break Olympics down, it's all these sports done at a very high level. It's all the sports that you and I love and, you know, not can do, but most people can do, but done at a very high level.
Yeah.
I also heard Bob Costas say a while back, he said, everything that I did growing up as a kid in my backyard is now an Olympic sport, and that after he was reporting on trampolining and ribbon twirling that are now Olympic sports. Well, I have to agree with him on that point, but Olympics are the human potential at a very high level doing skiing whatever that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Olympics for cars means you have to take the human element out of it. It has to be all about the machine.
Oh, wow. You've taken this a lot farther than I thought possible.
So it's because otherwise, it's still the human element of driving and racing cars. And, well, some drivers are better than others, obviously.
This
and then they're going to win.
Okay.
So what makes Olympics for the car itself? And therefore, I come to two things that inspired me. The first was Race of Champions.
Yeah.
Grueling race.
Yeah.
But that still denotes the driver
as
the champion.
Sure, yeah.
And then the second was company called Bandito Brothers, started by Mouse McCoy, who starred in the movie Dust to Glory in 2004.
Okay.
He rode his motorcycle to a Baja victory. I mean, totally amazing movie. But I had the pleasure of working with him for a little bit. His name's Mouse McCoy, and he started a new company called Hackrod, hackrod.com. It's generatively designed cars. But this guy just, you know, created all the Mattel Hot Wheels stunts of the flips and the loops and all stuff for the Guinness World Records.
That's
what his former Bandito Brothers company did.
Okay.
So let's combine everything that defines driving and one car that is put through all these grueling events, meaning you would have to have multiple drivers extracting the goodness out of the car.
It's the Carcathlon? Sorry,
well,
couldn't
resist. Gosh.
There's the shirt. That's at least the podcast
title. You're going to write that down, aren't you?
I am going to write it down. Carcathlon, that's a podcast title.
So here's the categories that we're going to combine into everything into one giant event. And the car that takes the overall win is the Olympic winner for the car, for the medal, for the machine.
There is much thought that has gone into this.
I thought about this all afternoon.
I am horrified and amazed all at once.
Different road surfaces, drifting, drag racing, ice driving, jumping cars, two-wheel driving, fuel economy, an endurance race, and the ability for the car to do a Rockford.
You've just actually counted out 10 things. You did create the Carcathlon. I'm simultaneously really impressed and completely horrified.
If there is one car that exceeds and takes the overall win doing all of these things, and obviously it's going to have to be performed by multiple human beings,
yeah,
then the car is the winner and not the drivers.
Wow.
The end.
Okay. That's your mic drop moment.
Onwards.
I'm shocked at how far that went. Well done. Very
love
well
the question.
Done. Yeah, no question that you did. Professor Tomorrow, looks like TMR on Instagram, wrote in. He's asking how the heck we take care of our cars during the winter.
Ah.
Depends on the car would be the first answer. The Lotus does not like to be washed, in case you hadn't heard this story. So I have to be very careful of the days that actually comes out, even if it's a nice sunshiny day. I have to be very careful.
I do like that you rip the guts out of it so it would stop being angry at you after you washed it.
Well, come on. No, I ripped the guts out of it after I was up halfway down my stairs at 3 o'clock in the morning because the alarm was going off. And that was the beginning of... No, that wasn't the beginning. That was the end.
That was the
if
end,
I could have actually taken a wrench in the middle of the night and started then and not kept my wife awake, I would have done it right then.
Honey, what... What are you doing?
No, it was the moment when she rolled over at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, is that your car?
Uh-huh.
And then I was halfway down the stairs, and it stopped. And I thought, oh, no, we're not doing this. This will not happen
again.
It's
like that chirp of your fire alarm in your house.
This will not.
And the batteries start to go.
Exactly.
Where did that chirp come from?
Exactly.
You're walking around
the house with a shotgun trying to figure out which one has to die.
It.
Exactly that world. Anyway, sorry. How do we keep our cars clean in the winter? Look, there are going to be those of you that are paint aficionados. I am not one. I like tires. That are going to be horrified by what I'm about to say. But I do have a membership at my local drive-thru wash for the Mini and for the Cayenne because they're just going to get salty and nasty. And so the thing about the membership, and it depends on where you are, but like the membership I have here, it sounds so pretentious, but follow along. You pay the cost of two nice washes for the month. So it's like $35 or something. Okay.
Yeah.
And that you can go through many times today if you want. So the great thing that does, I find we use it more in the winter than we do in the summer. Because, look, it snowed last night and it's going to snow again tomorrow, but I just keep driving it through to get everything blasted off the car. I know that these, I will always remember going through this wash with the guys from Gears and Gasoline when we shot with them. Because Ben and Ben had never been through a drive-through wash before.
Oh, yeah. That's
they were funny. Genuinely frightened of it. Okay?
Machinery.
My son, who's 8, is so over it. You know, these guys had never been. Anyway, so that's the thing. I just drive the Mini through. I used to drive the FRS through because it was a year-round car. The Cayenne goes through there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it's not the greatest thing for the paint, but leaving that stuff on there while you're driving through salty Salt Lake area is even worse.
True. True. No, that's a great... Great point. What else is on here? Neil P. is asking about colors. We don't talk about colors too much, saying what best color currently available in each manufacturer's palette.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to go through all the colors from every car manufacturer on the planet, but I will say a few of them I'm going to put out there. Lamborghini and McLaren do color.
Yes,
they
do.
The whole color thing better than anybody.
Thankfully, they do. Yeah.
I mean... Generally speaking, I find this practice kind of dying a little bit, but the first car, the first special car of a new car in its production run, that first year, mm-hmm. usually has a special color. BMW did this with that, the beautiful mustard color for the 01 E46 M3.
Yeah, right here.
And the Laguna Seca blue colors.
Yeah.
They still do it with their Austin yellow metallic on the M4. I kind of went through. I looked at Mazda. I love their Soul red metallic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love Mercedes, what they're doing. They have Diseño Green Hell Magno for their AMG GTR or Solar Beam yellow metallic.
So green and yellow.
Pretty much.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
And then, Porsche with their Miami blue and Sapphire blue.
Yes, that are only made 1 month a year or whatever.
Well, yeah, but... It's kind of interesting. Even, I just thought Aston Martin, they're starting to do color really well. Otherwise, it's such a study of, sophistication and the color saying what they want that car to, match up with. You wouldn't put the bright Solar Beam yellow on, a Camry. You wouldn't.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
That would be distressing, let's put it that way. But on the AMG GTR, it says a lot about the car. On a Lotus Elise, absolutely.
Sure.
Says the personality. And so the study of color and what color palette should be on various cars, such a thing.
Well, it's the look at me factor. Look, I'm going to be tacky for a second, okay? If you see a beautiful woman dressed in an amazing dress.
Yeah. Keep going.
Same dress on a not beautiful woman. Or you know what? Same dress on a man.
Yeah, not
okay?
Good.
It's just that's the thing. A really attractive color needs to be on a car that is worth looking at.
Yeah, true.
So if you put definitely a really enhances. Attractive, like, look at me color on a car that is mundane, your brain kind of goes, what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm off in the weeds.
Cars wear dresses? What?
No, it's not. I actually did not say that. So ACCG quad four, quad two. It's ACCG 2222. Anyway, I'm on Instagram. Actually, that's Facebook. Wow. Okay, that's awkward. Anyway, moving on. He's asking an interesting question. I sense a little bit of frustration here.
Mm.
How often do we get the tail of our card on Canyon Drives? And he's asking because he is a slightly salty 2018 Audi TT RS owner.
Oh, yes.
And he's tired of hearing commentary about you can't get the tail out on the Audi TT and therefore it's less fun. I want to try to unpack this for a second. Remember, I owned that FRS for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did was get stickier, better tires.
Yeah. Yeah.
The discussion is that car is only fun because you get the tail out. I went in search of a car that didn't get the tail out as much. I wanted it to get the tail out only when I was searching for it. But most of the time when I drive a Canyon, I want to feel like I am completely bolted to the road. That for me is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
There were times I slid that car around, but it wasn't seeking it out. To answer your question, I rarely get the tail out of a car when I'm on a Canyon road. Rarely. Because other traffic.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's the number one reason not.
If it happens, it happens, and you just ride it out.
Exactly.
And you just embrace it.
I'm not in search of it or trying to initiate it. We've had cars that have done it on shoots. It happens, but I'm not going and looking for it. But let me come back to your question. The problem here is not can you get the tail out. The problem here is how does the rotation feel?
Hmm.
When you have a car that is front-wheel drive biased or doesn't rotate perfectly around the center pin of the car, if you want to think of it that way, you can feel it in a corner grinding that front wheel into the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the difference. When you get a car that rotates really well and does have a tendency to get the back out, I submit to you that it feels like it's rotating better than a car that is front-wheel drive biased and is going to be more prone, at least initially, to understeer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like things like the Lotus and the FRS and the MX-5 or your Cayman, these cars, their rotation's amazing. You get in a car that is more front wheel bias, even if it's not front wheel drive, more front wheel bias, and you can just feel it grinding that front and forcing the car to turn.
Yeah, that's true.
Versus spinning it.
Sure.
And that spin feeling, that's what's so attractive to me. And that's the thing I think that people are responding to in the TTRS. I don't think it's, well, this car can get the back out. There's a difference in rotation back to back, and that's key.
Yeah, and again, you know, cyclists, small woodland creatures,
yes,
large animals,
well,
guardrails,
yes,
canyons, drop offs.
This, you know, with this
other traffic
relates directly to another question.
You know,
Destin Cade wrote in and said, "Do we know of any apps or websites to find good driving roads?"
Oh yeah.
And somebody answered, and I'm going to back their play. The best way to find this is to research the roads that motorcyclists use because there are all kinds of databases. They will break down the road, the length, the traffic amount, etc. The problem with all of these great roads is when you find them, and I'm a guy that seeks them out on Google and have found many.
Yeah,
but
it's fun.
But the thing is, once you get there, you can tell it's a great road because two things are happening. You're there in a great car, as is the cyclist, as is the motorcyclist.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now that whole get the back out thing is a whole different problem because you're talk about sharing the road.
No kidding. No kidding.
So you got to think about the fact of who's around that corner. But those are the guys that know where all the roads are, all the motorcyclists.
Agreed. Well, guys, we'll wrap things up. We're, as you can see, we could talk a long time.
4 hours later.
Well, we couldn't do television without our sponsors, so a huge shout-out to them again, and that is Covercraft, Griot's Garage, and Auto Tempest. If you use the code EVERYDAY for Covercraft and Griot's Garage, Covercraft will give you 10% off your order.
Yep.
Griot's Garage will give you free shipping, or did I get that
backwards?
No,
you got it backwards. You got it exactly perfectly backwards.
Perfectly backwards.
The idea's right. the execution's wrong.
Covercraft will give you free shipping.
They will.
Griot's will give you 10% off your order.
The good thing is that Covercraft is shipping you big stuff, so the free shipping is nice.
That's true.
And Griot's has got awesome products you're going to want a lot of, so that 10% is going to work. We are working on giveaways here. Now that deliveries have happened, all of the actual TV show, all kinds of other things.
You didn't know what to do with yourself.
I know. It's crazy.
Actually had a weekend.
It's bizarre. I watched movies with my son. It was bizarre. Anyway, we're going to try to do some giveaways from these companies right here on the podcast. So follow along on that. We'll mention them on the podcast, and we'll do them through social media. We're working on what those products are going to be. We're hoping to do giveaways here very shortly.
Rod, Kareem, massive thanks for writing in, and massive thanks to all of you who write to us. We apologize we can't get to every debate, but if you do have your own debate, you've heard the qualifications, you've heard what we're looking for. And I love that people, you know, they're talking about Click and Clack. And, you know, people loved listening to that show because of the human interest factor. It wasn't just about repairing cars.
True.
It was the human interest factor. And so I will say, if you have your own debate, write to us at everydaydrivertv@gmail.com, or you can find us on the website and get to us that way, everydaydriver.com.
Yes.
Love to hear from you. Thank you again for all your questions. Looking forward to next time, guys. Cheers.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
ADT can design and install a smart home just for you, backed by 24/7 protection. A new smart home at your service, customized for your lifestyle. Set up custom automations unique to your home to automatically do the things like lock the doors or set the thermostat when you leave. Even close your garage door from virtually anywhere. ADT will set up your home with multiple smart home devices and security features like indoor and outdoor cameras, locks, lights, and garage door control, even video doorbells. Visit ADT.com/podcasts to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.